All right, good morning, guys. How many of you have your rifles sighted in for deer season? One, two, three, four? How many of you have your rifles sighted in for elk season? How many of you have already gotten an animal this fall, bow season? All right, a couple of guys in the back, praise God for that. Well, I'm really excited that we're able to gather together and connect and have fellowship, and hopefully you maybe met some new guys here. And I'm also really, really blessed that one of our own, Nick McKinley, has agreed to come and share with us this morning. So I want to pray, and then before he comes up, there's a short video that we want to show you that will just give you some background to what he's going to be sharing. All right? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come before you, and you, Lord, are King, and you are the ruler of all creation. And we come before you now, Lord, desiring, Lord, for you to work in our lives, continue to work in our lives, Lord. We live in such, interesting, amazing, but also insane times. And Lord, now more than ever, men need to stand up and be the men of God that we're called to be. And so, Lord, help us to hear what your Spirit would speak to the church this morning. Lord, help us to be open. Help us to just be encouraged that you have made a way for us. You've given us your word. You've laid out what your expectations are as we live in response to so great a salvation. And so, Lord, we continue to give you this time this morning. And we just want to say we love you in Jesus' name. And all God's kids said, amen. Well, guys, would you give a warm welcome to Brother Nick McKinley? Come on up.
I have the privilege of kind of talking all over the world. And I was just telling Pastor David, one of the things that I am at the same time humbled by, but also terrified of, is when I get to share a pulpit. And it's really only the pastors who are like, oh yeah, I get that. Like, I completely understand that. It's one of the joys, but also you're just terrified of screwing it up. So anything that I say that sounds wise, I promise you I stole from somebody else. Anything that I say that sounds kind of dumb is my own, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit makes the tinnitus from your hunting actually pick up when I say something stupid. So what was the video going to tell you? The video was going to tell you that I'm an orphan. I was abandoned by my father shortly after I was born. Don't really know really much about that. Abandoned on the doorsteps of an orphanage, like a literal orphanage. I'm 46 years old. I know I look 26, but don't let it fool you. These are not gray hairs. My son says they are shiny hairs. Abandoned on the doorsteps of an orphanage. And so if you know anything about orphans globally, much less in the United States of America, you know that things were not looking great for me. That's not an awesome start to a life. And that causes all kinds of issues, psychologically, physically, all types of things. Yet, it was something that I got to overcome. So what the video would tell you is that I got adopted by an amazing family out of Wyoming. Because adoptions back in the 70s and early 80s were basically like witness protection. You should see my birth certificate. Like, you can literally see where somebody put like a piece of medical tape over my real parents' names and then typed in over the top of it my adopted parents' names, and that's on my birth certificate that says that I was born at Research Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri, yet my parents had never been to Kansas City, Missouri, and so much less lived there, much less had a baby there. So I was adopted because they said yes. They saw a child in need, and they said yes. And then they moved me from Wyoming, which is a tough place if you've been there. Lots of wind, ranch in southern Wyoming. You know, it's a rough place. They moved me to Billings, Montana, which Yes, Billings is not the Flathead, all right? I understand that. I like to say that I actually earned my way to the nice side of the state. Those of you who were born here need to go do some time in Yellowstone County. But I got to grow up in Billings, Montana, which is about as idyllic of a childhood as you can get. And thanks to the love and support of my parents, who raised me as if I was their own. They did not treat me different than any of my sisters. Part of the reason why I was able to do a lot of stuff in my life was because I had three sisters who beat up on me constantly. And so, you know, that's the way the situation ended up coming out. But I became an Eagle Scout. So, okay, things are looking good. Graduated high school. Now, back in the day, I had figured out how to hack the attendance system because I tend to be pretty good with electronics and different story, but I managed to graduate. Also managed to graduate from Harvard University with one of my three degrees. I managed to join the Air Force Pararescue Teams. If you guys probably never heard of that, that's the Air Force's Special Operations Ground Component. I did that for a decade. Couple years of investment banking, and then got recruited into a kinetic unit at the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, contrary to popular belief, 99%, maybe 98% of the people in the Central Intelligence Agency are professional typists, right? They go talk to people for an hour, and then they spend 4 hours writing up what it is that they talked to that person about, right? Most of it is, you know, tea and crumpets on the, you know, circuit in Paris and things like that. Most of your best CIA case officers, as what you guys refer to as spies, they're not actually spies, but semantics. Most of your case officers are short little Chinese women. Because where am I going deep cover? Scotland is about the only place that I can go deep cover, right? And last time I checked, we are not at war with them. And as soon as I pulled up a stool in a pub, they would very quickly realize that I was not one of them. So at the Central Intelligence Agency, you have two, what we refer to as kinetic units. One in the Special Activities Division and one in the Office of Security. And unfortunately, I can't say the name of the unit, which is really dumb, but I gave my word that I wouldn't. However, they literally made a movie about it called 13 Hours. And that was my unit, and I was the team leader of that unit and took over that unit. So in doing all of this, I managed to have the privilege of working with primarily men. Hence the reason I get asked to speak to a lot of men's conferences, because those people that I had the privilege of speaking with and working with are really not what you think. So if you're the note-taking type, the title of this message is The Paradox of Weakness. Of meekness, already having slips. This is not going to go well. I don't know about you guys, and how you ended up at this church, but when I first moved to the Flathead Valley, I began attending another church because I knew the pastor's father really well because I'd come from Albuquerque. And the church was not really a good fit for my wife and I. I've got traumatic brain injury, so lights and lots of loud sounds and things like that. Children. Don't always work well with my brain. So my wife sent me church shopping. Now, it's important to understand that I am a complete theology snob. So when pastors' messages are like, you know, some life advice with a Bible verse wrapped around it, that's really not a good fit for me. I want the meat. That's what I'm looking for. So ask God for guidance, as one does. And I went so far as to ask that he give me a sign by having the pastor use the original Greek at whatever church I went into. So I found my way here, figured I'd give this a try. I liked the fact that it was kind of small. And the first Sunday morning that I rolled into this church, not only did Pastor David use the original Greek in his teaching, but he projected the verse he was teaching from in the original Greek on the wall. And I haven't seen him actually do that since. And projected it in Greek. So I was like, okay, God's not subtle. And the message was well received. And I've been coming here ever since. You guys all know this already, but we are incredibly privileged and blessed, really, to get to learn under Pastor David. So thank you, Pastor David. So, of course, when Pastor David asked me to speak for this event, I was flattered, thinking, must be at the top of his list. Then I found out that everyone on the list, from A to L, had already turned him down. And so he started on the list that started with M, and being a McKinley, I was at the top of that list. So here I am, the number one pick on his 13th list. So thank you for the honor, Pastor David, but you might want to go meet some more people. A young boy was assigned to write a report for school on Julius Caesar. And after some research, he handed in a very brief paper that read this: Julius Caesar was a great and powerful Roman leader. He gave a long speech. They killed him. So to avoid Caesar's fate, I'm going to go ahead and keep this short, all right? When I watch videos that have been made about me, there's one called The Real Jack Ryan. If you remember when that series came out, I'm the person that they said was the real Jack Ryan, which is actually not true. That's like an amalgamation of like 50 different people into one. But I'm the person that Amazon chose. And I watch these videos that are made about me, and I'm absolutely humbled by the story that God has allowed me to live. On paper, many of the things that I've done seem way bigger than they actually are in reality. For better or worse, I've never been afraid of swinging for the fences and never been afraid of failing. The only fear I've really had is of never trying in the first place. So I have people ask me, like, well, how did you get into Harvard? I'm like, I applied. Well, I could never get in. Did you apply? I could never do this. I could never do that. You hear that a lot, right? And that's not who we are called to be as men. What the people who know me well will tell you is that I am nothing special. I'm no different than any man in this room. I have a wake of past failures that nobody gets to see. Thank God smartphones did not exist when I was growing up. And thanks to the CIA, my internet presence prior to joining the CIA is almost non-existent, right? I had the privilege of really starting over, so to speak, on the internet. To those who know me well, they'll tell you that I am actually living proof that God truly does use the foolish to confound the wise. So for the first 20 years of my adult life, I had the privilege of working with some of the finest men on the planet. Men who were, both by nature and by training, straight killers. And I say men because there are no women in special operator jobs in the United States military. There are no women in pararescue or combat control, special forces, SEALs, Ranger Battalion, MARSOC, or Marine Raiders, whatever the Marines are calling themselves these days. They're like constantly shifting their names. But the preponderance of my professional experience was working with highly, highly selected men. As an example, a man has roughly an 8% chance of making it into pararescue teams. And you've got a similar metric that can be applied to the special operations career fields and other branches of service. At the CIA, my unit was only men, because that unit recruited exclusively from military special ops. And they took those people and then applied a stricter standard to them, and then those are the people who got to be a member of that unit. And by being members of these units, I got to see what all of these men had in common, or most of them had in common. There are obviously exceptions. They could all mostly be defined in one word. They were meek. You were not expecting me to say that word, right? You were expecting me to say they were men of violence, men of action. No, they were meek. Now, when I use the word meek in a group of men, especially Christian men, especially here in Montana, I can almost hear your brain starting to shift and start thinking about your next firearms purchase or where it is that you're going to go, right? I mean, I know because I'm the same way. And you're thinking, here we go. Yet another dude who's going to tell me from the pulpit that, yeah, I need to embrace my femininity. Because it's happening a lot these days, am I wrong, right? Not even close. In fact, the opposite is true. As Christian men, we are called to be meek, but meek does not mean what you think it means. David writes in Psalms 37:11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:5 that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So when I say meek, I bet the image that pops into your head is one of frailty and weakness, right? Some of you, not so much, but many of you, yes. When we think of meekness, we automatically associate it with the word weak. Okay, well, we just talked about what David said about meekness. Let's ask Goliath if David was weak. Or for that matter, the entirety of the Philistines. Where could you go visit the Philistines today? David committed genocide in the name of God, right? So, not weak. Do we think that Jesus was implying that the weak shall experience an abundance of peace or that the weak shall inherit the earth? Of course not. Because with God's power, David killed Goliath with his own sword, took his head clean off, and there's never been anything more powerful on earth than Jesus. So the original Greek word that we translate as meek is praos or praus, and it is often simplified in English translations as gentle. That's why we confuse the word for weak, but meek does not mean weak. In the Greek, praus was often used to describe a powerful animal like a warhorse that was under the control of a higher authority, and that's key here. The word implied strength that was under control, not weakness. It suggested a sense of humility and gentleness and submission of power to a higher authority. Zechariah 9:9 used the word to speak of Jesus, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just and bringing salvation. Praus, and riding upon a donkey, even upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." So if you know your Bible, you all know who this passage is referring to, and he ain't weak. Strong's Concordance describes praus as an expression of power without undue harshness. Think about that the next time you are disciplining your kids. When we look to history outside the Bible, we find that Aristotle writes in his Nicomachean Ethics that gentleness is the mean with respect to anger. It's the average with respect to anger. The praus person is angry at the right things with the right people. And further, he is ought, so he is angry, as he ought, as long as he ought. So, interesting to think that anger is biblical when applied correctly. I talked about earlier in Greek military terms that praus was used to describe a well-trained warhorse and rider, specifically that remained calm under pressure and would respond to the rider's slightest command in the middle of the battle. The horse's strength wasn't diminished by being praus and by being under control, but instead it was directed into battle effectively. As a pararescueman, I was a combat medic, as kind of like a, you know, you're a shooter first, but then your kind of secondary job is that of an extremely highly trained medic. And we used to say that the best medicine on the battlefield was effective fire at the enemy, right? Directed. So strength directed in the right way into battle. I think at this point I've kind of made my point about praus, right? As men, we're not called to be effeminate, we're not called to be weak, we're not called to be subdued. We are instead called to be praus and powerful, yet in control of our mind and soul and then body. Actually, probably soul, mind, body, in that order. So you know a little bit about my background. What you didn't know is that I had the good fortune of surviving 30 combat deployments. I unfortunately did not get to go on the wine and cheese circuit. I went on what we refer to as the dirt circuit, right? So never got to see Paris as a government employee. Working with the men that I worked with in those 30 combat deployments, there's some of the best killers, and I use that word specifically, that the world has ever seen. And yet you will never see anything so gentle as a Delta Force operator walking out of a Target building carrying a baby whose parents were just killed. Or a pararescueman pulling a child from rubble after a building was just leveled by a car bomb. These are powerful men. They're our nation's strongest warriors. And yet their touch is light as a feather when they're protecting the most vulnerable among us. You see a Delta Force operator literally pick up a baby and hold it in his arms and switch to his sidearm and continue the mission, turning himself sideways to make sure that any incoming rounds can't hit that baby, right? Putting his own life at risk. Getting hit here with bullets, not a big deal. Getting hit here with bullets, really big deal. And would put his own life at risk to protect that baby, keeping that baby behind his armor. When I first heard the word Praus, it was in 1997 in a message from Skip Heitzig. And I was in pararescue school at the time. And as so often happens with young men, our front row bachelors here, my team and I found ourselves in the back row of a Calvary Albuquerque because we'd been invited there by a pretty young lady. And I heard that message. And since then, Praus has been kind of a life word for me and has been a personal standard that I try to live up to. Try being the key word. 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So as men on earth, we often think that we need to be physically strong, but it is not physical weakness that plagues us the most, though that is a significant problem in this day and age, but it's weakness and lack of control of our minds that actually leads to our destruction. I would argue that your weakest moments, my weakest moments, are rarely physical. In fact, when there's a physical task, we usually rise up to that occasion quite well. It is primarily in our minds where we fail the most. The interesting thing about our mind is that we only have one. Some of you might have more than that, but like, don't tell anybody about that, right? It's always us versus ourselves. And so when you're fighting yourself, any force that you apply to your mind will be met with an equal and opposite force originating from yourself. So it's important to understand that you cannot control your mind. It is impossible to battle ourselves without the power of God. And so without the power of God, we will always fail to achieve meekness, to be praus, and will instead remain forever weak. That is our natural state as men, without God. The popular societal commentator, many of you might know, Dr. Jordan Peterson, once opined that if you think tough men are dangerous, wait until you see what weak men are capable of. Well, I happen to actually know firsthand what they are capable of. They're capable of terrorism. They're capable of oppression. They're capable of trafficking children and the most vulnerable among us. And I believe that part of our calling as Praus men is to find and slay the dragons that God puts in front of us. And it is this last action that is perpetuated by evil men that I was charged with confronting, and that's child trafficking. It turns out that all the training that God ushered me through was only in preparation to confront and slay the human trafficking dragon, the child trafficking dragon. It's the most violent crime perpetuated on children by the weakest of men. And think about it. Satan doesn't want to kill these children, because where do these children go when they die? Straight to Jesus, right? Instantaneously, there they are. They win. So he doesn't want to kill them. He wants to just abuse them. Kill, steal, and destroy, but kill their souls and have them abused over and over and over, right? Until they become adults, and now they get to make decisions, and now they're in an impossibility. And what does that do to the men? Because when we talk about human trafficking, we're not predominantly talking about forced labor in America. We're talking about sex trafficking. That's what happens in predominantly Western countries. So what happens to those men who are engaging as customers? Well, Satan's killing them too. He gets a two for one. That's why I say the most violent crime perpetuated on children by the weakest of men. Now, unfortunately, child trafficking has become kind of a cause celeb recently, and this is very irritating to people like me who are in the fight on a daily basis. Movies like The Sound of Freedom hitting screens, and some of you have probably seen it, right? It's perpetuating fictional stories. There's a rumor going around that that's based on a true story. Complete lie, not true. Not based on a true story. Complete fiction. And they're entertaining, right? And entertainment is good because it helps to inform people, right? We have like The Chosen on TV and things like that. And so people can kind of get familiar with the Bible stories a little bit without diving too deep. And that kind of can help them a little bit. But they do nothing to inform our actual reality. So let's dive into the reality of child trafficking and child exploitation in America. When you look at the data from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children surrounding kids that go missing in the United States, you find that 0.0001% of those children in their missing child cases are actually abducted by a stranger. It's not the white van with free candy painted on the side rolling through your neighborhood. This means that a child in the United States has roughly the same chance of being struck by lightning as they do being abducted by a stranger. Think about that. It's not what you think. When you look further at the data, you find that in 92% of those missing child cases, the children are referred to as endangered runaways, which is basically a way to say that in most of those cases, a child was contacted online by a predator who befriended them, manipulated them, and convinced them to run away into what they thought was the arms of somebody who was going to care for them. But in reality, it was someone who was going to exploit them and turn a profit as they would any other product. The societal predators among us do not have to kidnap our children. They simply convince our children to do all the work for them. Likewise, in just 5 years, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children found that they had an 846% increase in suspected child trafficking cases. So think about how big that number is. If the population of Kalispell were to grow by 846%, it would be 1.5 times the population of the entire United States. So the question is, why did NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, see such an explosion in child trafficking cases? There's a bunch of compounding factors, but the primary one is in your pocket. It's a smartphone. Smartphones not only connect us all, but they also connect pedophiles and traffickers who live among us to all the children who have a smartphone. And this day and age, I would even say any internet-connected device. We've had trafficking cases that originated on Xboxes and on PlayStations. So to put this another way, the predators now have direct access to the prey, and the algorithms of social media are their targeting systems. So that's the scope on the rifle. So it's the internet that has caused the explosion in child trafficking by giving predators access to the prey, but it is also the internet that has driven demand for trafficking victims because it's an economy. You can't have a market if you don't have a demand. Economics 101. And why? Because the internet has also allowed us to access pornography at a scale that was previously unimaginable. It's been said in the modern age that a teen boy can view more nudity from more women, more unique and distinct women, in a single day than the kings of the past could in an entire lifetime. How many of you have daughters? Raise your hands. My men. How many of you have sisters? That's why I can have like broken fingers and I don't need anything because like they gave me a pain tolerance. Yeah. Wives? would like to maybe have a wife someday. It's a good thing, I promise. Mothers. All right, everyone's got a mother. So my wife says that the reason I didn't raise my hand is because I told you guys I was an orphan. And my wife swears that's because I was manufactured in a lab and actually born in a test tube. So daughters, sisters, wives, those are all women. How many of you, you fathers with daughters, are discussing prostitution with your daughter as a possible career choice? How many of you would be okay if your wife came home and decided she was going to make a career change and she's going to be a porn star? I wouldn't imagine that any of you would be okay with that. So according to the human trafficking hotline data for the U.S. human trafficking hotline, pornography is the third most common form of sex trafficking in America. Traffickers have learned that they can force their victims to start an OnlyFans account, that's a pornography site online, where they can profit from them by selling them virtually, which gives them very, very little risk. Traffickers have also learned that they can force their girls to strip in strip clubs, and that's a great way for them to not only earn money, but also get new customers. And they've learned that they can force them to participate in pornography videos because that's a great way for them to diversify their business revenue. So every time you log into a pornography site, there is a high probability, extremely high probability, that you are paying to watch a slave be abused. If you purchase sex from a prostitute, there is a high probability, extremely high, that you are paying to have sex with a slave. Statistically, 69% of the men in this room use pornography. 4% have a straight-up porn addiction. And 16% of the men in this room have purchased commercial sex at one point in their life, at least once, with around 1% doing so regularly. So when you put that against the statistics of the population against the United States, those are some big, big numbers. Now, it's been said that money, women, and religion are the causes of wars, but having been to war over 30 times, I can tell you that's not true. It's not about oil, it's not about religion, it's not about any of those things. It is weak men who cause wars. It is weak men trying to oppress other people that usually leads to a war. And it is weak men who are perpetuating the war on women and girls by commoditizing them right here in the U.S. So weak men abuse the weakest among us. And it's easy to say that with an air of judgment, but we also need to always keep in mind that absent Christ, we are all weak, and we have no ability to be praus, right? To be meek, to truly be powerful and under control. But with Christ in us, as I said earlier, we can slay dragons. So, an old man was explaining to a young man about the two wolves that lived inside of him. And he told the boy that there was a wolf that was good and a wolf that was evil, and they were fighting for control of him. So the young man asked the old man, well, which wolf wins? And the old man replied, the one you feed. So as men, we need to ensure that we are not feeding the evil wolf, and we are only feeding the good wolf. And since child trafficking is the dragon that God has called me to slay, I'm here to continue basically preparation of the battlefield, right? Because you are all in the fight with me, whether you realize it or not. And I want to help you understand what you can do about this issue that's also going to help yourself. So there's really three ways that you can be praus on this issue and that you can help with this fight. The first is to stop feeding the evil wolf. Stop using pornography and commoditizing women and girls. And if you're a purchaser of commercial sex, know the prostitutes that you frequent are most likely slaves working against their will. Stop feeding money into that human trafficking market, and also stop feeding the evil inside yourself so that you can make it weaker and the good can actually bubble to the surface. The second way is basically to feed the good wolf, right? And how do we do that? We do that by being a biblical man. I didn't say Christian man, because unfortunately in this day and age, I don't really know what that means sometimes. I said biblical man. And traffickers know that the easiest girls to manipulate are those who don't have a good relationship with their earthly fathers or our heavenly father. So many of the girls who run away into the arms of a trafficker are doing so because they were never taught their worth. And they never saw biblical behavior modeled by their own father or any of the men around them. So they're trying to fill that God-sized hole in their heart, and they're listening to the weak man, the first weak man, really, who comes along and is willing to manipulate them into a product. So be a biblical man. The third and final way that you can protect your communities is to get involved in the fight. And that can look like many different things, right? Be a role model, pour into kids who don't have one, care for the widow and orphan through the churches and nonprofit organizations who are in the trenches every day. But primarily is to aspire to be that biblical man and to be praus. Because in order to be praus, we must first be powerful, then under control. As men, we are usually the ones who are called to violence when the wolves kind of start circling the innocent, right? It was the entirety of the first 20 years of my professional life. And I believe it's our solemn and sacred duty as men to violently oppose that which would hurt those we love. Violence doesn't always have to be physical. It can be political. It can be prayer, right? Biggest weapon that we wield. And we do that so that we can actually build up our own strength, which then helps suppress our weakness, which gives us that power that God then helps us control, right? It's a circle, and it's something that just continues to grow in us. Because if we don't take an active step, and too many men that I see in this modern age are too passive. They just float. Comfortable job, comfortable, like, just, they're comfortable. And I believe that comfort is the biggest weapon that Satan wields against the modern man. You don't have to hunt anything, you just go to Chick-fil-A, right? Not that there's anything wrong with Chick-fil-A. All right, so I'm going to leave you with some things to think about. Some of you, this is going to be a gut punch. Some of you, it's going to be a throat punch. And that means I'm doing my job. So think about this. How can a father of a daughter say that he would walk through the gates of hell to protect his daughter and then log into a porn site and exploit somebody else's daughter for his own gratification? How can a man say that he would lay down his life for his sister and then go abuse someone else's sister for an hour in a hotel room? A lot of people don't want to believe that pornography and prostitution lead to trafficking, but the mistake that they make is that they're bringing their opinions to a data fight. The data very clearly shows that pornography, prostitution, strip clubs, and the commercial sex industry writ large are a direct line, not just to human trafficking, but to child trafficking. So one of the fundamental tenets of economics is that a choice to do one thing is more importantly a choice not to do something else. So when we make the choice as men to follow our godly design, to be praus, to protect our souls, to build our minds and our bodies, we are most importantly making the choice to not weakly follow the path to death. We can and must do better. We can all be praus as men, powerful in God, yet under his control. We only have to choose to do so. And I say choice because there's so many things I feel in the modern age of internet and making, you know, political candidates essentially sit on the throne of God and, you know, demonizing other people that we feel like we don't have a choice. But we do. And the trick that Satan plays on men is to have you run in circles and you start confusing that movement with progress. So, but I posted on Twitter that I was against child trafficking. Do you feel better? Because that does nothing. I went and talked to my county commissioner and demanded that they not allow strip clubs in this county. That is doing something. That is actually moving the needle. I informed myself. I talked to my daughter about these issues. I talked to my son about these issues. I heard my son, my teenage son, make a lewd comment about Dallas Cowboy cheerleader on TV, I don't know. And I corrected him. And I corrected the other men around me. And I helped them understand that that type of behavior leads to oppression and exploitation. And I feel that that is our, in the modern age, that is our calling. We no longer have to individually pick up rifles to defend our family, because there are people who do that on your behalf. Thank you for paying your taxes. That said, I know what they do with that money. And you're learning what they do with that money too these days. So we, as citizens of the Flat, you know, first and foremost of the Flathead Valley, and then the state of Montana, and then our region in the Northwest, and then the United States of America, we have a duty to protect our turf. And we don't have to do that with rifles anymore. God forbid that never comes. I do hear talk amongst men in churches that, like, they're ready for that. I'm like, no, you're not. You have no idea what you're asking for. So it's a level of violence that you cannot understand. It's not a video game. So the good thing is, you don't have to do that. But you do have to advocate on behalf of our children. And there's many ways that you can do that. But first and foremost is to be a praus man. And if you do that, I believe that everything else just falls into place from there. Thanks for listening to me. And thanks for the opportunity, Pastor David.
What a good word. Strong word. Right at the end there, I was thinking about the choices that Nick said that we have, and I was reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verses 3 and 4, it actually is one of those phrases in the Bible that says, "This is the will of God." And there's a number of them. So for people who say, "Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is," we'll open the scriptures together and we'll say, well, let's look at what's basic first. And oftentimes God would have us do the basic things first, like do the plain things before the specific things, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it starts out by saying this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," which means you're being set apart for God and his purposes. And then he illustrates that in that culture, and it's applicable to our culture today. He says that you should abstain from sexual immorality. All of it. Any kind of sex outside of marriage, that's immoral, right? So he goes on, and then he says this, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. He goes on saying, not like the Gentiles, not by lust, not these things, but I really love that verse, in verse 4, where it says, each of you should know how to possess your vessel. Possess your vessel. You know, without God, as Nick was sharing, you don't have a choice. You're under the bondage of sin and death. But you know what? As his redeemed, as children of God, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. And guess what? We always have a choice. And that's one thing that we heard today, is that we need to continually make the choice to be praus men, to be men who are powerful, but men under control, and that we would possess our vessel. And so I wanted to encourage you, exhort you, and equip you. And so we put together a packet of resources and Bible verses and things for you guys to think about just along these lines of personal and sexual purity and how important it is in these days. And these guys are going to hand them out. We've got one for everybody, so don't feel bad. But everybody should take this, because if you're feeling trapped, then this is a way you can look through this material, reach out to one of the pastors, and make a change. But what I really appreciate about this is it says nothing changes until something changes. You're your own worst enemy, but also you're your own best change agent in this. And God wants you to make a choice for Him, for purity in these last days. And so these guys are going to hand this out here, and I'm going to close in prayer. And I hope you can connect with, maybe meet one more person that you haven't met before you take off. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, truly, Lord, thank you for this timely word, Lord, from our brother Nick. Lord, thank you for his life. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you for the battle that he is facing every day, Lord, as a job, as a career, but most importantly, as a calling that you've called him to. And Lord, we pray for his nonprofit and his family and his team. Lord, the blessings of heaven, Lord, open up the windows of heaven and bless him, Lord. The things that he will face on Monday, next week, next month, if we're still here. Lord, only you, the God of blessing, knows exactly what Nick and his team needs in these evil, evil days. But Lord, thank you for that strong message. And Lord, for us, that we would hear, that we would think about these things. Lord, that we would know that it's your will, that each single one of us here in this room that names the name of Christ, Lord, you're calling us to possess our vessel. Lord, we have a choice every single day. And Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to be men who are meek, powerful men in these last days who are under your control, who are submitted to you, Lord, that you can use us as your vessels of honor in these last days. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, gentlemen.